Greg Gunn, and welcome to the Future Podcast. This is part two of a two-part series where we talk with illustrator, author, and entrepreneur Ari Chung. Now, like many of us, COVID-19 has put a strain on life and especially business, but Ari found a silver lining. And though he didn't plan to, he's built a new and thriving business. Now, if you missed part one, go back and listen to it because you're going to want to hear the whole story. Okay, let's pick up where we left off.
I want to get a little bit technical with you, okay? You said a couple of things. Like, one is that you ran a contest, but you didn't really describe what the heck the contest was all about. You just improved your conversion massively.
Oh, crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been huge. So definitely, I'd love to talk about that. The contest also, by the way, is highly dependent on, you know, the software, and the software I was using isn't working as well as it used to. They changed it. And I'm like, why'd you guys fuck it up? But anyways, that was a game changer because it literally gave me double the amount of leads. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what was the contest?
So it's called Up Viral. The contest is we were giving out an iPad every single day during this promotion.
Right.
And the way you earn, the way that you can win the iPad is that you share, and you share organically on your social, and you earn points. And the more points you get, the better chance you have at winning. And we ran a free class every single day for 7 days. So we gave out 7 iPads. The ironic part is only 3 out of the 7 actually emailed us and filled out the form. So I only actually really bought 3, even though I was on hook to buy 7.
What?
I would happily. I know some people never checked their email. They won this iPad and they didn't even like redeem it.
Oh, you know what? Probably it went to their junk mail, or they just deleted it and didn't think that they could actually win.
Right. Definitely the junk mail is a big problem. Mm-hmm. Which I'm not sure on how to solve that.
Yeah.
But it still ends up being worthwhile. But that's what worked like a charm. And previous to this promotion, I did the contest 2 other times and it worked just as well. So it was consistent. It's just my last promotion, Up Viral, they changed the way that the software works with the with the front end form and the back end form, and those little tweaks, like it just devastated the results. I was so pissed off.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. The opt-in form doesn't look as nice. I was able to embed the opt-in form into my own design form, which was simpler and a lot more urgent in terms of signing up. Mm-hmm. And then the back end, it was so much easier to share. Mm-hmm. And they just screwed it up. I don't know why.
Okay. So what inspired you to use Up Viral and run a contest like this? Where did this idea come from?
It came from, I think, a few years ago. It came from a podcast, and Wilco, who's the entrepreneur behind this software, I had seen him. He builds lots of different marketing software tools. So this contest idea isn't new. He just built a newer version of it, and he did a pretty good job marketing it. So, and he had a lifetime deal. I'm a sucker for those lifetime deals. So I bought this thing, I think 2 years ago, with it in mind to test out and use. To me, it's like, I think it was like $600 or $700. And if it works, then great. If not, then, you know, I wasted a couple $700 and I gave it a try. Yeah. But I've been sitting on this software for basically a year, and then I tested out on a Black Friday a couple of years ago, and it worked reasonably well. I think like 20 to 30% extra leads for free. So definitely paid for itself right there. And then I just had it in mind because it worked before. Let's try it again. So that's where it came from.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about how you're running ads on Facebook. Because when we had this conversation in part of the pro group, you're saying something and I'm like, I need to talk to you to see what the heck you're doing. So for people who are relatively new, maybe they've taken out a few ads on Facebook to promote a product or something. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing different, or what has been very effective for you?
Yeah. So I think Facebook ads can seem confusing, and it certainly was for me for about a year, year and a half, until you really understand actually how you can simplify it and make it really simple. Facebook's actually simplified it. I think sometimes when things are new, we overcomplicate things.
Yeah.
You know? And so with Facebook, there's kind of just two things that they're asking you to do in the very beginning. Do you want traffic or do you want conversions? Right. Mm-hmm. And then they also tell you, like, Facebook actually is really good at telling you exactly what to do. You just need to follow what they do instead of overcomplicating, which I think most of us do, including myself. So, what you need to do is just have something catchy and have something that is less than 30 seconds, 15 to 30 seconds if it's a video. If it's a billboard, it needs to be something that says, yes, I want that. You know, so our ads are simply, hey, do you want a free class? Do you want a free art class? That stops people. And just imagine it as you're on the internet highway. People are in their cars, and you need to make that billboard or that little commercial. You need to be that guy on the side of the road with a sign that says, hey, do you want this for free? And you'll just know by the click-through rate. If you're over 1%, then you've got ad copy that's working and ad creative that's working. And then the second part is you need to give them the sample. So I like to explain it like this is, you know, when you go to the mall or you go to Costco, they have those folks that have their little sample tables and they're giving you that little sample, right? And obviously they do that because they want to have you try it out risk-free before you consider purchasing it. And I think that this has been the most important part of the process in buying ads, converting ads, is that sample has to be amazing. It has to be really, really good. Because that way there's no risk in them purchasing. So the first ad is just to get their email to deliver that sample. I've found the best samples at work are a live interaction, a live, whether it be a lesson or something live that proves, hey, I'm a real person. I'm not some scam on the internet. I'm a real person and I'm teaching you and I care about you. And I think you said this to me when we first met is, give freely. The best thing, you know, you told me, you know, the best thing you can do is just give freely. And it's true with the sample. It's don't hold anything back. Teach your heart out, you know, really help them with their pains and problems. And then it's simple from there. It's like, did you like that? Well, join us. This is what we're doing. And just know that 96, 97% of the people are not going to take you up on it. And that's fine. You know, hopefully you still help them. And then the 2 to 3% that are going to take you up on your offer are going to get a great deal. They're going to, you know, be with you a long time. And those are your customers. Those are your fans.
Okay. Yeah. So let me get this straight. You're running ads on Facebook. You're taking all the money you had made previously and pretty much just dumping it into this and seeing if you can go from 40,000 in your email list to something like 100,000 in email, knowing that you'll convert some of those people. So you're running ads and these are images. What are these images? Because I don't have access to your campaign. Maybe you can send them to me later and I can describe it to
you. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd love to break down the ad set.
Yeah, absolutely. I can describe it and I'll send it to you please. As well. So the images, usually it's a piece of art from one of my children's books. And then you want to call out your ideal avatar. In our ads, we say, you know, parents and educators, you know, free art classes for kids. And then it's like drawing, painting. So they have to just basically, they have to read it in 3 seconds or less and know if that's for them or not. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to say, oh, that's cool. So usually the image grabs their attention. Usually design wise, it's bright colors. On the actual ad, you want to have less copy, because if there's too much to read, it takes more time to read.
Right.
It's sort of like the 5-second rule, right? You have to know what's the title, you know, free mm-hmm. art classes for kids, painting, drawing, you know, and then sign up here. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. And that's where, you know, if you're doing a video ad, you've got 30 seconds and you just want to lead with what it is up front, you know? So when I see a lot of ads that are mistakes, and I used to do this too, is people will say, hey, I'm Christo, or hey, I'm Ari Chung, and explain. People don't really care who you are if they don't know who you are, right?
Right.
So you have to say up front, what is it in for them? You know, do you want to XYZ, or are you stuck with this? What is it that you're offering that they say yes or no? Or you could hook them with curiosity. Mm-hmm. And then you agitate the problem, or you tell them how they can find out, and then you give them the call to action. It's okay. That simple. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, very good. So the ad for the people who clicked on it takes them to a sales landing page, right?
To an opt-in page, not a sales page.
An opt-in page.
So we're not trying to sell them at all. This is where, you know, a sale is a psychological commitment. Mm-hmm. Even if it's $5, someone has to pull out their wallet and trust you enough to give you $5, you know, mm-hmm. on the internet. So we don't try to sell at all in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, our rule is that we have to give value first, mm-hmm. And then sell. Like, I think what's amazing with what you do, Chris, is that you've given so much on the YouTube channel that when someone buys from you, they're 100% comfortable because they feel like they've known you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the opt-in page tells them, like, hey, if you give us your email, we're going to give you that sample that you described about in
exactly
whatever time, right?
Yep.
Okay. So it's, mm-hmm. is it a long opt-in page, or is it just no. enough details? Okay. Just enough
simple,
to get their
simple,
email,
simple.
Right?
Yeah. You don't want people to overthink it. It's basically the ad. The one thing that we put on here that did help is if you're doing a live event, you put down a countdown timer to that live event.
Mm-hmm.
And that way it does two things. It one, there's a little bit of urgency. Oh, I better sign up for this now. It's happening soon. And then two, it actually reminds them, because, you know, now there's people from all over the world. You know, time zones are confusing, you know, for most people. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, even though it's only a Google search away, that's hard for a lot of people. But that countdown timer says, okay, it's in 2 days.
Right.
Or it's 24 hours or 5 hours from now.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So they sign in, and then an email pops in their inbox to say, hey, the class is here. Here's your link. And is this you teaching on Zoom?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you have to set up like passwords and things like that so that people didn't crash your Zoom party?
No, we actually don't set up passwords because we, passwords and other authentication options, mm-hmm. They do both things. They keep people that unwanted people out.
Right.
They also keep wanted people out, which is really frustrating. So what we do is you just strip out all the controls. So basically when someone shows up, the only thing they can do is watch. Mm-hmm. There's no chat. There's no screen sharing. There's no annotation. There's none of that mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. So they just come, and then, you know, sometimes like the worst thing they could do is they change their name and do something foul or inappropriate, but that's all they can do. It's not that bad.
Okay, that makes sense. So this first webinar, a demo that you put on, how many people showed up?
Are you talking about for the summer or for which one?
I've done for the big one. Yeah, for the big one. When you went from 40,000 to 100,000, did 100,000 mm-hmm. people show up?
Oh, so we had 100. We ran a whole free week of classes, and basically it's the whole idea of let's give you the sample, and every single day there was one. So we ran a free sample for a whole week. Our summer camp was 5 days. So every single day of the week, we ran a free class, which was the free sample of that camp mm-hmm. that they would purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And so day one, I think we had about 70 or 80,000 people on our email list.
Yeah.
And there were about, I think, 25,000 people showed up.
That is a lot of people.
I know, it's crazy.
That's an overwhelming amount of people.
Yeah.
And your Zoom plan must be crazy.
We got a good deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, it's pretty expensive. Yeah. I think I spent like $8,000 a month on Zoom now. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. So
is it the same class every single day or a different class?
No, different class. So this is where the engagement. So this is all the nitty gritty to the promotion, but it's pretty cool because day one, you announce who the iPad winner is, and then all the kids are like, I want to get an iPad. And you say, parents, if you want to get an iPad, help us share about this free week. And it's a win-win because they're sharing a whole free week of lessons. Like if you're really uncomfortable doing that, then obviously you're not going to share. And you also have a chance to win an iPad. So it's a win-win.
Right.
And so you're reminding them on that. You teach the day for free. And at the end, you give the kids homework, which parents love because now the kid is doing something outside of watching TV or video games, and they're busy making their thing. Mm-hmm. And then we have them post on our Facebook and social. So then it becomes a little bit more awareness around what this thing is. And then the next day, we actually have two announcements. We have who the iPad winner is, and we also have what we call the artist spotlight. And so the artist spotlight is somebody who posted their homework, and we select it, and we actually give them a signed picture book. And then all this whole week, we're still buying ads. So by the end of the week, I actually have about 110,000. Engagement does drop off. It's not 25,000 the whole time.
Right.
It goes from 25 to about 15 to, by the end of the week, it's about 10. But you know, when you think about our conversion, we had 4,700 customers. Of that 10,000, half bought, which is like pretty incredible. And for them, you know, they came every single day for the whole week, and there was no risk in the purchase for them.
Right.
Which is why I really like this kind of launch model for a week, is because you built this relationship over a whole week, and you're not hard selling somebody off of one presentation.
Right. Okay. So the ad brought them to an opt-in page, which had a countdown to when that week began. So on Tuesday after that week began, what does the countdown look like? Is it flashing red already missed or?
No, you just say starting now.
Okay, so it's now starting now.
Okay. Yes, it's already started. You have the dates on there.
Yeah.
And so I didn't tell you that if you join late or if you miss the class, we have a very simple replay page, and it's just re.com/replay. So it's really easy to remember as well. And you just have the daily videos there. So day one, here's the video. Here's the slides. Day two, here's the video.
You get caught up.
It's on demand anytime. There's no login. There's no nothing. It's just there.
Okay. So this first, is it you teaching all week long?
So for the summer camp, this is when I opened up to my friends and I asked them, hey, you know, I've been teaching the summer camp, creativity camp for the past few months. Would you like to come teach? I can pay you really well. And you get to, you know, teach a bunch of kids and it's fun. And so I had four other friends join in.
And
it was a great value because now the kids can learn from more than one mentor.
Right. So did you kick it off on the week?
I did.
Okay.
I started with beginning drawing. And then I think week two was painting. And then we had design. So Maria taught design. And then what were the last? Oh, I taught twice. Actually, out of the 5 weeks, I taught twice. And then I taught animation. And then there was one more. Can't think up top of my head. It's been a while.
So did the students and the parents get an email with supplies and the lesson plan and all that stuff in advance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You actually have to have that
ready
to go. Your syllabus and a tight materials list is one of your best sales assets. It just shows people that you're serious, you know what you're doing, you're prepared. Right. And it's one of those things like, if I feel uneasy, I don't trust you, I'm not going to buy. And then if they see this detailed list, they're like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing. I'm good.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So the time in between registering and getting the opt-in email and all that stuff, and then your syllabus and the supplies, it's not a lot of time. The parents, no. What are they doing? Ordering this on Amazon or something?
Yeah, they're just ordering on Amazon.
And you provide links for them?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's all in the supply list. We link it up. This is where, you know, having a team helps a lot. Mm-hmm. Having a virtual assistant that can put together your lists and docs and publish them helps a lot.
So there's a lot of planning going on, from securing the other teachers, designing the curriculum, getting their supply lists, and then building all this stuff up. I imagine this is quite a bit of work prior to you even running the first ad, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a lot of work, mm-hmm. but you can't take it in bits and pieces. The very first part of the work is, let's get the ad ready. Right. Let's get the contest going.
Right.
While you're building your lists, you're finalizing materialists, you know, and to be honest, sometimes you just have to fill in the blanks. Like, you're asking the instructors, hey, what is your syllabus? And they're not getting back to you. Mm-hmm. Guess who's doing the syllabus at 2 a.m.? You are, right? So that's what I did. I just said, okay, I'm just going to write this thing right now and get it done in the next hour, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do.
How long was the live sessions for?
Just an hour.
Okay. How'd you arrive at the number 1 hour instead of 2 hours or 30 minutes or whatever?
Well, the first part is the audience. So we're teaching pretty young kids. Some of them are even in kindergarten. And honestly, an hour is a stretch for those kindergarten kids. Like, I think half an hour is perfect.
Yeah.
45 minutes is okay. Mm-hmm. An hour is probably too long for a kindergartner to be on Zoom and paying mm-hmm. attention. So we started actually with classes that are 30 to 45 minutes, but we got into some crafts like painting that just took longer than that. And so it was actually a challenge even to get those classes done in an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching a painting class right now. It goes an hour and a half, mm-hmm. which is fine because they're mixing and they're painting and they're having fun. Mm-hmm. But we got to that time from A, the audience age, and then B, what is it that you're trying to do in that live class.
Time for a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Ari Chung.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
If you're a small business owner, this is for you. Because running a business is just plain hard sometimes. Endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, and your ever-present bottom line. So first of all, kudos to you for staying on top of it. Now, I want to tell you about Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and all that other really exciting stuff you love to do. They help over 100,000 businesses with tasks like automated payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, onboarding tools, You get where I'm going here. You name it, Gusto does it, and they keep it easy. They also really care about the small business owners that they work with. And I can attest to that because I happen to use Gusto for my own business. True story. Their support team is attentive and helpful, and since money can be tight right now, you'll even get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/future and start setting up your business today. You'll see what I mean when I say easy, because it really is. Again, that's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/future. Welcome back to our conversation with Ari Chun.
Two quick logistical questions. One is,
sure.
What kind of camera equipment setup are you using so that you can teach painting? I imagine this is all analog. Mm-hmm. Are these overhead cameras that you're setting up? And then does each instructor have to have the same setup?
So each instructor does not have to have the same setup, but this is something that I'm working on to make it more consistent. Mm-hmm. Some are using webcams, which mm-hmm. I need to experiment and buy a few of those. Others, including myself, are using iPads and iPhones. And this actually works really surprisingly well, mm-hmm. is you... It's really simple. You get one of those extenders that hold your iPhone or iPad, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you call into the Zoom, and we just spotlight your camera, and then you just have to set the lighting right so that way it looks good,
right?
And make sure that your notifications are off and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But that's what we do now. It's actually pretty simple. It's right. not anything other than that. Yeah. It's just about getting the lighting and having it set up.
Right. So then, there's probably multiple computers on your end. One is so that you can speak to mm-hmm. them, and then you spotlight the other one and say, okay, yes. I'm going to spotlight this one. And now everybody can see that. And you're using your iPhone as a secondary camera on like one of those gooseneck arms, right? So you position it exactly so it's an overhead thing, mm-hmm. and then you can draw and demo in front of them. So for the part in which you're demoing, they're hearing your voice, but mostly they're seeing your hands and the tools, correct?
That's right.
Okay, and you're doing the editing live yourself, or your virtual assistant is helping you to flip back and forth?
I don't know. So we have a moderator.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like to think of these live classes as live performances. They're sort of like a sports event or or a daytime TV show. Mm-hmm. You can watch those things on recordings, but they're just not as fun. Yeah. But there's something about being together live, right? Mm-hmm. And so we treat it the same way. There's a moderator who's sort of like your color commentary. Mm-hmm. That moderator right now is also the camera person. So they're the ones that switching back and forth.
Yep.
They're also the ones that select kids. So our classes, we have a specific format and formula, mm-hmm. and it's all about engagement. So it's making sure that every single kid is engaged the whole way through. And the way you do that is you give them opportunities to participate. And so the teacher has been trained to lead with questions and say, hey, I need one volunteer to help me do this. And people raise their blue hands. And, you know, mm-hmm. you can see the kids when they get picked, it seems like they're on TV. They're so excited. Mm-hmm. And the moderator, part of their job is to scan the room and see who's engaged and write down that list. And so when we go to select somebody, we're selecting someone who's been attentive, know what's going on, you know, is excited to join. So the moderator does all those things, camera, selecting kids, filling white space, giving color commentary, and also keeping the vibe and the rhythm of the class going. So, you know, in a live event, in a presentation, the tone of the presenter sets the tone of the mood of the room. And right. so a moderator, you know, if someone's slower, a moderate, you want to pair them with someone who's more upbeat and happy and fast.
Right.
So there's a little bit of art there in having the perfect team, mm-hmm. but that's what makes a good class.
Okay. So you're running Zoom webinar, right? So the number of attendees is like huge. So you're not seeing all their faces. You're seeing their names in a participation or participant list, right? How do you know they're engaged? Are they commenting and chatting?
Oh, so for the promotion, we do webinars. And for the class, we do just a normal Zoom room. But we have the highest, you know, plan where you have 1,000 people join. In webinars, you can have participants, so you can see those people.
Yeah.
And what we do is our most loyal customers, we make them participants. Mm-hmm. So we give them, we register them in advance.
Right.
They come.
They're like co-hosts, right? They're on the screen. Yeah.
Well, they're not co-hosts in the sense that they don't have any controls.
Okay.
So co-hosts can, if you want to be careful here, with especially with kids, that they inadvertently press buttons and then they'll unintentionally hijack your lesson.
Right.
And they were just pressing buttons. They didn't know. So they don't have much that they can do, but they can turn on and off their video. They can unmute themselves when you unmute them. Then they also have a button that they have to press. Okay, I want to be unmuted.
Okay, so I was mostly referring to the webinar part where you're still doing the sales pre-class because the webinar is very close to the actual class. So I'm just trying to map it here so that you have Mod who's managing energy, who's cutting cameras, and also filling in maybe some of the dead space because you're like drawing. You're like, hey, so what are you doing there, Ari? And then you could explain, right? It's like, wait,
exactly
that color. And then, so Jimmy or Mary has a question about what's your favorite animal or something? And Ari, what is your favorite? So they're keeping it lively, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And then at the end, you say, okay, all right, so we're almost done here. I want to make sure you guys have your homework. Here's what you do. And then you want to make sure you post on Facebook and we'll send you the link. And then they do that. And then that's the day. And then you just rinse and repeat for 5 days, right?
That's exactly it.
Okay. It is wonderful. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll mention one last thing is there's also a sequence to the week when you're doing the sales promotion. So day one, you don't sell at all because you want people just to learn, trust you.
No pitching.
No pitching. Day two, you mentioned enrollment is open. And a bunch of people sign up because they love day one already.
Right.
It's a soft thing, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned it's open and you mentioned that we're giving out these awesome bonuses. Day three, this is where, so I'm going to lead you up to that 36 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
So day three is when you say, I just want to remind you that these are these bonuses and that the early bird ends tomorrow.
Right.
So
that's the trigger.
Now it's like, oh, and you know, the discount is $20. So if you miss it and you still want it, you're still going to sign up. Right. But you'll be surprised on what motivates people to save $20.
Well, so it's relative. It's relative to the cost of the class, right? Because how much is the class full price?
It's $147, which is still incredibly affordable.
Yeah, $147. So $20 from $147, that's not nothing. Yeah.
It's not nothing. It's not nothing for sure.
Right. But that triggers them to take action. Okay.
Yes. So it's a really a good win-win both ways. I mean, $20, I'd still be happy to make that sale at $127 versus $147. And many people sign up for at $147 later too. So, but that Wednesday is you've put that anchor in, this is the deadline. Mm-hmm. And then on Thursday, you mention it at the end of class, you email them in the morning at 6 a.m. Hey, just quick reminder, today is the last day of the early bird.
Yeah.
Instead of paying $147, pay $127. I hope you're having fun this whole week.
Right.
And then at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. Pacific time, you send them one last reminder. And that's what made that 36 hours, you know, huge. We made $400,000 in 36 hours.
Whoa. Okay,
yeah,
so
it was awesome.
So you kicked it off on the class on Wednesday, and an email notification 6 a.m. the following Thursday, and then the hey, here's your last chance, it expires within hours, right?
Right.
And then they have to go into
for the early bird.
Yes.
For the early bird.
And then that's the trigger. And then you start to see the sales come in. And this is your holy cow moment, right? Because you're seeing the orders come in, are you getting notified in your email of every purchase?
No, we turned that off because there's so many. But this was really fun, Chris, is we had the team. We're like, oh, my gosh, can you believe how much we hit our sales goal in that 36 hours?
Right.
And so everyone just hopped on, and we were just watching the sales come in and refreshing the screen every 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. And then we actually went from this moment of, oh, my gosh, I don't believe that much sales is coming in. Can you believe this, too? Can we serve all these people?
Right, right.
We're gonna run. Like, can we do this? And we actually turned off this. We closed down the cart because we sold out. We actually oversold, and we had to scramble the next day. I had to go back to all the instructors and say, "Hey, will you teach another session? I'll pay you $5,000 more." Right. It's a nice problem to have. And everyone said yes.
So we want to talk about this a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there is actually some kind of limitation to how many people can participate on these live video calls, right?
Yes. Yes.
What is that amount? Is it 1,000?
1,000.
Yeah.
Because Zoom can only have 1,000 people at a time.
Okay. Yeah. So you knew that's why I just want to clarify, because people are like, oh, this is some fake scarcity nonsense. No, it's a technology,
it's real.
Technology limitation, unless you're Tony Robbins and you call the CEO. Basically, mm-hmm. the cap is 1,000.
Yep.
And that's as many as you can have. So then you have to run multiple sessions. And so I think in the summer, the full-blown 5-week course camp, how mm-hmm. many different sessions are you running per day?
We were planning for 2.
Yeah.
Then when we had this huge enrollment, we added one more. Mm-hmm. So we had 3 for all the classes.
Okay.
And then, you know, there were hiccups along the way. So one of the problems that we didn't know in advance was people are going to share the link.
Of course.
We had a bunch of people crashing, which was terrible, because then all these people who paid couldn't get in, and all these people.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it was terrible. So what we had to do to just make it right for everyone is we added a 4th time.
Wow. So now you're just spending even more money, because this is your problem, not the instructor's problem.
Yeah. Well, we're paying the instructors extra to run that 4th time.
Right.
The instructors made out like a bandit. They did really well. I paid them really, really well. But it's all good. And, you know, we're still figuring out how to limit that problem. But we spent the next 2 weeks. The first week we had to remake all the links, add that fourth time slot.
Yeah.
And then basically we had to work on the tech part to then, pre-register people into Zoom. So we had to build an API and, link it from our email into Zoom, and then pass it back into a custom email and send it to them. Yeah. So there's a bunch of gymnastics that had to happen to make that work. And email is also not the best way of delivering the link, because for whatever reason, half the people are not going to get your email, even if you sent it to them. Right. So then you have to have a huge customer service staff. So I'm kind of getting to some of the pains we had. Mm-hmm. So half the people, we had 1,000 people every day that would email us. Hey, where's my link? Where's my link? Even though it was automatically sent to them every day.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the time. I'm getting nervous again, Ari. So it must have been a little bit rewarding, like overwhelming. And then you go through the range of emotions, right? And then you actually run the class, and people are crashing. And I can feel the pain. It's like, oh, what are you guys doing? You know, it's like the legitimate people who need to get in this class can't get in. And panic, anxiety. It's like, oh, customer service issues. But obviously you got through it. So you got,
we did,
you got 4,700 people, right? Mm-hmm. To enroll in your camp, and they signed up for different parts of, like, I guess now 4 sessions per day, which is a lot.
It is. It's a lot to manage.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about the 1 week curriculum, and then to roll this out for 4 sessions a day times however many weeks was it 5 weeks?
5 weeks.
Yeah. Times 5 weeks. Did you get any sleep at all?
You know, I had a lot of help. So I did. Mm-hmm. I was also teaching. So after the first week was the hardest, because we had to fix the link sharing problem. And then the second week was actually pretty hard, too, because we had, you know, we were sending new links and new registrations, and half the people aren't getting it. There was one day in particular that we had 3,000 emails in 1 hour. In 1 hour. And it was like, oh my gosh. But we got through it. And what made us get through it is kind of two things. One is I was able to build a team along the way.
Yeah.
There were two key hires of Becky King. Shout out, Becky, if you ever hear this, thank you. You know, so she was the first person that manned customer service and did a great job. And then we hired the most amazing person. Her name is Catherine, and she lives in the Philippines. And she, in that day we got the 3,000 emails, I was like, Catherine, you got to go out and hire like five people like right now.
Right.
And she did. She hired and trained five people to help us crank through. And it was all hands. It was like 10 of us, mm-hmm. you know, myself included, answering emails, getting people their custom link, the email. It's, you know, it was just manpower. We got through it. And so the two things that gets you through it is having a good team mm-hmm. and then just being resilient, not freaking out. You know, when you see this huge number, it's 3,000, you're like, oh my gosh, we're done. Right. But when you actually look through and said, what are the different kinds of problems here? Oh, it's all the same problem. So I knew that we can get through it. It's just, all right, we got to train everyone to solve, to answer this one problem, and then we got to fix this problem, right? Mm-hmm. And we got through that. That was the hardest part in mm-hmm. delivering it.
I'm just like the hurdles you had to jump over. I'm like, oh, I got to go talk to Ben about this later. Like, how would we deal with that? That's ridiculous. Okay, look, we have four minutes left. We have 4 minutes left. Yes. I have to ask you this question, okay?
Yeah,
I was sharing your story with my wife, and I was just telling her when we were going on a hike about your father and the last words he said to you. And we were laughing about it because she already knew you were successful, right?
Yeah.
But in that moment, your dad didn't know that. So he's telling you this.
Yes, okay, my dad did not know. My dad knew I had a job. I had a success. I had a $100,000 art job.
Right.
But he didn't know the rest of the story.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, if I know you have a strong relationship with your dad. I see him inside your books and mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah.
And we can, you and I could share the story and laugh a little tear of joy. But people on the outside listening to this, like, what kind of parenting skill is that? So I want to ask you this question really quickly. Mm-hmm. If you could absolutely. Have this conversation with your dad, you're back on the bedside, but fast forward, like you made it before he passed.
Yeah.
How would that conversation have gone? What do you think that, what would you have told him in his last moments there?
Wow. I would have told him, this is a really good question, Chris. And it gets me a little choked up because my dad, I didn't tell you this, he was an alcoholic. And the reason why he was an alcoholic was because my dad had so much creative potential inside of him. Mm-hmm. He was a writer. He used to write for a newspaper in Thailand. He's intellectual. He reads a lot. You know, I'm a lot like him in some ways. And when he moved to the States, he was a blue collar worker. He worked in a factory, had to go do the same crappy job every day. And he was not intellectually stimulated. He was so empty inside, and he became an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And for me, I knew watching his life that I didn't want the same thing. And I think I would have just told Dad that I'm doing something I really love and enjoy, and it's interesting and fun every day. And now we're making like really good money. Like we made it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would say that it's like we, because he always, you know, he had these drunken episodes. And just tell you know, lament about his life. And so I would just tell him that I was able to overcome that. That's what I would tell him. Mm. Yeah.
I just think that his words to you were or maybe just his own sadness, right? In that
absolutely
he couldn't live his life, and he thought maybe you were heading in that same direction. He didn't want that life for you. That a lot of times people who aren't from our culture don't understand that these sometimes very harsh words really come from a deep sense of love. And it's just like they want to take care of their boy, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's it. And usually when people say harmful things to you, it's coming from them. Yeah. You know, it's their hurt that they're expressing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it was such a just heartbreaking moment that you're like, here's how my dad thinks, right? Just on his dying breath, he says this to you, but I think you knew how to hear it. And, you know, if your dad were alive today, I think he would rest easy knowing that, you know what, my boy did it. You know, he got his moment, and he did it his way. in a way that makes an impact on the world even sweeter. And I love that about your story.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Ari, thank you very much for doing this with me. I love how open you are, how completely transparent you are. And I don't know if you guys listening to this can hear his character and his voice, but I'm feeling it. And if you just look him up, where do people go and find you? When might the next camp be? And what are your plans for the future?
Oh, we have a whole school. It's called Creativity School. Mm-hmm. And you can find us at ari.com, ARREE.com. And we are enrolling right now. So if your kids want to take art classes and take live art classes, you can join for under $200 for the whole year. You get a whole year of education for less than $200.
That the value that you provide is just a little bit too much. It's too much, Ari. We're going to talk about that later, but okay. I tell you what,
yes.
At the end of the year, you and I are going to connect mm-hmm. again, and we're going to see okay. what has happened. Cause I'm just, yeah. this is an ongoing story, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm so excited for you and for the people who are lucky enough to be a part of your program. Cause
thanks.
You and I know this, like, we want to live a creative, artistic life. Our lives are too short to do anything but that. So I'm rooting for you all the way, shouting from the bleachers 100%. Thank you, Ari.
Thanks, Chris. It's been awesome being part of the future. My name is Ari Chung, and you're listening to The Future.
Thanks for joining us this time. If you haven't already, subscribe to our show on your favorite podcasting app and get a new insightful episode from us every week. The Future Podcast is hosted by Chris Doe and produced by me, Greg Gunn. Thank you to Anthony Barrow for editing and mixing this episode. And thank you to Adam Sanborn for our intro music. If you enjoyed this episode, then do us a favor by rating and reviewing our show on Apple Podcasts. It'll help us grow the show and make future episodes that much better. Have a question for Chris or me? Head over to thefuture.com/heychris and ask away. We read every submission and we just might answer yours in a later episode. If you'd like to support the show and invest in yourself while you're at it, visit thefuture.com. You'll find video courses, digital products, and a bunch of helpful resources about design and creative business. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.